Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Today's episode of The Instance is brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. Now, I got this killer deal to tell you guys about, all right? You're going to want to take advantage of this. You're thinking, I've been holding off. I'm not sure when to get my new system. But you just heard, you know, Oculus and Vive and all this stuff's coming out. And you're like, ah, I need a rig to run these things. And I want to run all these new games. I want to play The Division now. I want to play more, you know, the Overwatch when it comes out. And I'm super stoked. So what do I got to do? Well, I got an incredible deal right now. If you use the code FROGPANTS when you check out at Doghouse Systems, they will now give you, for a limited time, while supplies last, a 480-gigabyte SSD drive. It was a 240. 480-gigabyte SSD. That's an addition to the default drive that's already in the machine. So this is another drive that big, 480-gigabyte SSD, absolutely free. All you got to do is use the code FROGPANTS at checkout. That's at DoghouseSystems.com, the best computers you'll buy to play your games on. Don't forget to use the code Frog Pants.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 440. My name is Scott Johnson, joined today by everyone. Let's start over here with Willie Dills Gregory in Austin, Texas. Hello, Willie Dills Gregory.
Hey,
man.
What's going on? Good to be back. Missed you last week, Scott, while you were in Mexico. But
yeah.
I heard you had a great time and
lovely
finally
time.
Imbibed.
Yeah, I had a lovely time. Did you hear what, I've got this streak about not drinking alcohol, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to James and Svet because they stayed at my house the other night, yeah. Same-sex Mary.
Yeah.
And we were talking about you for some reason. I don't know why you came up. You know,
right.
It's not like any of us know you very well or anything. but you came up and I was like, you know, it would be fun to like hang out with Scott and like drink. And they were like, oh, he drank. And I was like, what?
Yeah, they listened to the morning show. I ended
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so you was, had a non-virgin, what, pina colada?
Pina colada. It was a total accident. The guy brought me the wrong thing. I had no idea. But so now I have a domestic streak I have to keep up. And
all right.
We'll see how I do.
But I hear you didn't really get drunk or anything.
No, I didn't really feel anything. I think they water that stuff down so you keep having them come and you give more tips, I think is what's going on there.
Had you eaten a lot? You were on vacation, so I'm assuming you were eating like plenty.
Oh yeah, right? They had like a buffet.
If it was on an empty stomach, you probably would have noticed.
Yeah, probably. I was eating like a pig. Actually, it was a bad week for that. really good time though, and it was great to be away, and we missed everybody. But also with us all the way from not sunny Finland. It's never sunny there, is it? Whatever. Patrick's here.
Well, it was.
If it is, everyone dies.
No, it was sunny for like a week. Actually, there have been super sunny days, but guess what happened yesterday? It started snowing again.
Oh my
so
gosh.
That's Finland for you.
We got home and it was 70 degrees, beautiful. That's Fahrenheit, so I don't know what that is in your weird space money. But it was real nice when we got home, and then suddenly we had a winter storm warning, and then we had 3 days of snow. So I totally understand how you feel. It's all good. This Sunday we're back up to 70, and very happy to be there. That's your news and weather. Now let's move over to sports with Terpster all the way from England. Hello, Terpster.
Oh, we're really excited, Scott. We've had some great sports. I don't know why I'm doing an American accent when obviously I'm in England, but wow, there's so many sports.
Yeah, lots of sports.
The ones with the bowls where you throw
Oh,
it,
I'd love bowls.
You do the bowls, yeah.
Terpster's a huge ball fan.
I'm a big fan of the bowls.
Yeah. We're here. We're glad to be here, and it's really nice to have the whole crew together. There's actually quite a bit to talk about this week that we'll go through, and in all the games, really. I have a lot of questions to the Hearthstone folks here about some recent goings on in Hearthstone that have really surprised me. So we'll get to that a little bit later. There's a bunch of Heroes things to talk about. Certainly, Overwatch had big news drop while we were gone, and turns out a few WoW things as well. So sit tight, hold on, and enjoy what's likely to be a show. Start with, I think, sad news. Jonathan Brown, a.k.a. Zaram, who has been on the community team for some 10, 11 years now, or, you know, at least 10, over there at WoW, is no longer with Blizzard. in a very sort of brief, suddenly out of here move. He is no longer on the community team and no longer working at Blizzard. And I was sad to hear that because he's been a really great resource over there and one who was always quick to say, hey, do you want to interview so-and-so or do you want to get some stuff to review or whatever? And I'm going to miss him. Be a weird thing without seeing his floating steaming skull icon on the boards and all, you know, on Twitter and everything. Mm-hmm. Did it catch you guys off guard
it's
a little
weird.
Bit?
I saw him like 2 days before it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
everything seemed fine. Weird. Right?
I guess it was fine.
Yeah, I think it was fine when you saw it.
Maybe fine. Things are still fine. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure things are fine, but he had been there for 10 years. I mean, anyone, when you're doing something for 10 years, it has to become, right, Scott? It has to become like super difficult and boring, right, Scott? When you're doing the same show thing work for 10 years, right Scott?
Right, exactly.
No, okay. I get you, but I'm fairly certain from the way we were talking 2 days earlier that he wasn't going 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, it was.
So that's why it's a real shame.
Yeah.
He's a you know, really nice guy. You know, he's always been, you know, a friend of the show and just, you know, genuinely kind of seemed to enjoy his job and be good at his job. So just sad, really.
Yeah.
You know, don't know the details. Can't speculate.
So,
Scott,
you were saying, do you think finally Blizzard found out that he was giving you interviews on, like, they were like, oh my God, it's those guys, you're out.
I don't think that was it. I mean, honestly, I have no details other than I have spoken to him offline since the relatively abrupt and unceremonious change. And it came unexpectedly, let's put it that way. And it sounds to me like it wasn't anything anybody had sort of planned, but I don't know, man. It feels like there's a hole there now. It's a good team regardless. You know, the CM team's always had their strengths and stuff, and they'll do fine. But, you know,
there is a weak link, though. There's a guy called Randy who's just a joker.
Really?
I don't know if he's ever even played World of Warcraft.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know how he got on that team.
He's just there, just chilling out. Aloha.
Yeah, I remember listening to a show a while back where he was saying, you know that Burning Crusade Outland thing? I'm not going to go. I don't care. They didn't tell me where to go in-game, so I'm going to stay here and hang out. And he did that for, like, days.
One of the famous moments in the show's history where he refused to go anywhere because the game wasn't telling him to go.
It was Northrend, right? He wasn't going to go to Northrend.
It was Outland. Initially.
No NPC was telling him to go.
Yeah, I think that was it. And I was like, dude, I'm already in, like, you know, Grizzly Hills. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just waiting here by Orgrimmar, waiting for someone to...
just talking to every NPC to see if someone wants me to do anything.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny moment. You got to see everybody because you went out there for a Hearthstone event the other day.
Yeah.
Actually, let's talk about that just real quick since you're kind of fresh from that.
Oh, Terpster, you were there?
Yeah, he went.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, man.
I was there.
Garrett,
we were there the day
for
before the Americans.
Yeah.
Garrett didn't go in the end, did he?
No, he was supposed to be our representative, and then he got super sick right at the last minute, and it was too late to change.
Sounds convenient.
he had two rounds of, like, horrible, like, antibiotic treatment. Like, he was
sick.
Really
I don't
sick.
Know what the hell happened to that guy.
Yeah, the flu hit him like a freaking truck. But you went out
well,
there.
It's that Florida man flu. You know, you got to watch out for that.
That's bad. It'll have you shooting chickens and, I don't know, jumping out of things
faces
naked
and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Real bad. Anyway, so Terpster, how did it go? What happened there on the ground?
Yeah, it's cool. We just got to see the Whispers of the Old God stuff a couple of days early. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah,
it's nice. There's not really much to say. There's, you know, it was a thing. It was cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, everything everyone saw on Friday was what we saw like on Tuesday.
Mm.
So, you know, it wasn't particularly insightful beyond that.
Right.
I don't know anything else.
Yeah,
sadly.
It was nice.
So did you only get to see the like seven cards that they showed?
Yeah,
six cards.
Yeah, yeah. Four days away from home and office. for six cards.
But they gave you a cool
Hearthstone
towel
they could possibly choose from. So, and then they later showed more cards, obviously, on the live stream over the weekend. But we didn't get to see those. So
I think it's just a
there
hoot.
Must be a story there because I can't believe they would do that for just, you know, four cards and just get everyone
six
across
cards.
The ocean.
Six
just
cards,
for that.
Patrick. Six cards. I don't. Four cards. That would be ridiculous. I'm with you there. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I've spoke to some people since, and they've all been like, "Oh yeah, thanks for the feedback. Yeah, no, yeah, we're definitely, you know, we've not really done a media event before for Hearthstone or for ages, you know. So we're just trying to figure out what's good. You know, we want to meet everyone. It's like, oh yeah, no, it's good. It's great. It's just, you know, I don't want to sound ungrateful, you know, because." And I was like, "Is anyone else said anything?" "No, no one else has said anything. Really? Okay. Well, you know."
Well, shit, maybe
I guess I'm not getting invited back.
I mean, a lot of them were good. You know, a lot of it was domestic flights and people, you know, 2-3 hour flights and no big deal.
There was 50 EU.
There was a bunch of people from EU.
Yeah, it's those that I'm surprised about.
Yeah. So everyone thought it was going to be something big, just because. And I mean, an expansion is kind of big, but they do one at least a year.
Supposedly now it's going to be two expansions and one adventure a year, and that's the schedule from here on out. Wow. But
yeah. Who knows.
I thought they were going to be doing more stuff around, you know, standard and release dates were going to be coming really, really soon and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then not only that, it was like, oh, yeah, and it's also 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. In two pre-builts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had two pre-built decks that we could play.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, you play that a couple of times, you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I've seen what I need to see. So Dills, the 2 a year thing, how does that have an effect on the standard? The standards thing is, or the standard format is still the previous 2 years worth of content. Isn't that the plan, or is that changed?
Essentially, yeah. Okay. So what's going to happen when they first roll it out is you're going to lose Goblins versus Gnomes and the Naxxramas adventure. Mm-hmm. So you're going to lose one expansion and one adventure. And then the idea is that they have two expansions a year and one adventure. Mm-hmm. And then so every 2 years, those will cycle out, right?
Okay.
And I don't know exactly how the scheduling is going to work on that, but or even if they'll be able to stick to that, who knows? This expansion seems to have taken quite a while.
Yeah.
What's that?
I thought it was every year they were going to, you know, start cycling out.
They'll cycle out something that's 2 years old. Yeah. But every year there will be changes. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But that's the thing. At the moment, when Standard drops, there'll be less cards than the current card pool is today. Mm-hmm. But by the time Standard's kind of towards its end for the first year, there'll be more cards than you currently have.
Yeah, well, and actually already, it's weird because the end of the year, that's going to be the biggest card pool every single time. So like, there's going to be this kind of cycle where at the beginning of each year, you're going to have a smaller set. And then as the year goes on, the set will get a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And by the time, I hope this is how it works. By the time it's BlizzCon time, you've got all the cards, like, you know, the biggest amount you're going to have, so there's more variety in the decks at BlizzCon. I really hope that's how it does work with the scheduling. We shall see.
Mm-hmm. With Patrick, you were going to say?
It's not guaranteed, though, because BlizzCon is usually end of October, early November, or around that time, and they might not have the second expansion of the year ready by then,
exactly.
Or it's going to be a mess for the championships because they might have just added the second expansion of the year. And it's going to be...
This is the longest
we've ever gone without an expansion as well.
Yeah.
So this isn't coming out to end of April, early May.
I was hopeful that we were going to see this expansion in March, right? Like right around now.
Yeah.
I was really hoping.
And that's the thing, I thought we'd see it and it'd be like, yeah, it's out next week.
Yeah.
But you know, they can do that with adventures because they just need to get at least the first week ready and then they've got another week to try and get the next week ready. Mm-hmm. But I guess, I don't know, but they're working on their two expansions ahead of what we're seeing now anyway, you know, at different stages. So this is just with like the final balance team and they're, you know, busy working on other stuff. So I'm sure they can crank it out.
Doesn't it feel a bit like this is the calm before the way they want to do things moving forward? In other words, they needed a little pocket of time to get ready for standards.
Oh no, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's a big change to how competitive Hearthstone is played. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just frustrating. I think from a player, it's like, you know, in WoW, we're kind of used to it, but it's still not a good thing that you get an expansion. And then you basically play through it. It has a patch, and then you wait a year till you get to have more updates. Mm-hmm. That's the sad thing for WoW. And they've always said, "Oh yeah, we want to do it quicker," but they're not. Yeah. And it's just it's now getting to that point where, you know, I load up WoW and I'm like, "Oh, I better ding a character to 20 so I can get a cosmetic here in Hearthstone." That's literally all I
know. I was
do.
The longest I played WoW in a really long time. Was just
same for me.
Liaison.
Yeah.
I had over a decade. It was the first character ever made. It was an orc hunter that had no ranged weapon, wearing all kind of white and gray items, that was level 19. Wow. And I instance queued, stood at the back, dinged, and then just logged off. There you go, job done. So it depends. Depends on what you got.
Yeah.
Depends on what you got.
I could have looked for one, but I decided to do it on stream with a buddy and make it like a little thing where we, oh, let's go back in.
Did you create a blood paladin called Lady Liadrin?
No, but I did make a blood elf, but it was a mage. Because that was the only class I didn't have on Earthen Ring, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it here.
Do you suppose
it was actually pretty fun. It took like two and a half hours.
Do you guys suppose is a chance for them to say, hey, Hearthstone people who never played WoW but came to this game because you like mobile games or whatever your reason for being here is, how about y'all hop into WoW there and just get a little taste of that? Is that what this whole promotion's about?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what, though? All of us who have been playing WoW for a long time, we don't really care. We go in and we're like, we're being super, jaded. And we're like, I played for an hour. It's the longest time I've played in months. Mm-hmm. But we're not the target for this promotion. It's for other people to go and try it out, right?
Sure.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. But I do, similar to the Heroes promotion where basically people just went in and made Smurf accounts to get this mount. I get the idea. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, get people, give you something fun and cosmetic to help promote their game. In this case, it's another game. It's cross promoting a game, right? Mm-hmm. However, there are some people out there who got really kind of screwed by this and would rather have the option to also pay $9.99. If they so choose, because I was streaming it, I'm talking about it, it's fine for me. I have WoW installed and all that kind of stuff. This guy was like, yeah, I'm re-downloading WoW right now, and it's 40 gigs or whatever. I have to delete things off my computer because I don't have that much space on my computer. Mm-hmm. But I need Liadrin, and he's pissed, Mm-hmm. And there's another guy who's like, I really want Liadrin, but I was horribly addicted to World of Warcraft, and I really don't want to log in and maybe, kick myself back into some sort of dangerous situation for me. Mm-hmm. And then there was other people who were just like, didn't want to actually physically have to do anything. I don't understand why you can't also just say, yeah, for $9.99, you can just skip all that.
Yeah.
I would really like to see that. Because I think they still get the legs out of it of some people going in and trying because they'd rather do that than spend the $9.99.
I just wonder if most of the people that would do it are more of us and less of players who haven't tried dabbling in WoW, or at least that's what they're thinking.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who tried WoW for the first time because of this. Yes, I'm sure that happened, but there was a lot of people who this kind of really sucked for in a way that I'm sure maybe Blizzard didn't even consider. But the fact is, though, it is a purely cosmetic thing. No one has to have it, but that's not how gamer minds work,
I don't know. I had to have it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You don't technically have to, but come on. You have to.
Terpster, I'm sure your group loved you for coming into that dungeon and then standing there and then leaving as soon as you dinged 20. I'm sure they thought that was great. That was a quality dungeon learning experience.
I just thought I'd lead by example, You got to play the game the way you'd want to have the game played with you.
Right.
Like.
I love that.
I've had it happen to me in the past, Scott. I'm not feeling jaded about that.
Sure.
I had a limited window of time, and much like when they did the Heroes of the Storm, sweet refer a friend, ruin the game for a couple of weeks.
Right.
I was thinking, that's how we do it. You're going to put an incentive in there. I'm going to make the game a bit worse for the couple of weeks in which everyone's rushing it.
Yeah, they vultured
it. But I think also level 19 dungeon, I think you're going to be fine with four people. So unless, there were
that's
three
how
of
I
them
sleep at
were
as well.
Actually... or maybe three of them were people actually trying to get the promotion and everyone logged off the second
I made sure
level
though
20
it
and,
was
we did that
it was Serpent Shrine and yeah. I just went round and picked up or Black Fathom Deep's one of them. Mm-hmm. I just picked up all the I think it's Serpent Shrine. I picked up all the
Wailing Caverns is probably pickups. What it was.
Yeah.
Wailing Caverns,
just,
I'm guessing.
And I just picked up all the quest items on the floor. Didn't hand the quests in, didn't need to. But at least they didn't. So sweet. Jobs are good.
And
we did a very similar thing, but we did participate in the kills. But the moment we dinged 20, we bailed on the group immediately.
Yeah.
And we were like, that was a dick move, but they understand.
Sure. And it's anonymous. And so it's one of the problems.
We were only the tank And
you're only taking healer.
It was a bad thing to do, but it's fine.
A healing paladin and a tank paladin. And
Like, hey, see you later, 3 DPS.
See you guys.
Good luck.
I guess those Qs, they fill up pretty quick with those two rolls.
So level 20, right now,
they could probably do it even without a tank. Or,
no, they really could.
Nowadays, it's fine.
So hold on. Terpster, were you there with no ranged weapon for the whole thing?
Yep. No pet. I haven't played him in like over a decade. That's literally amazing. It was the first character I ever rolled in WoW.
Yeah.
And
I have a question. Can you even shoot anything without a ranged weapon?
Nope.
No.
So yeah, so you couldn't actually do any abilities.
Nope.
Couldn't do nothing.
You could stand there.
Mongoose.
Before I realized that,
you could auto attack with your whatever melee weapon you had in hand.
You can. There's not even a slot for it anymore.
Not till Legion. Yeah, in Legion you'll get it back, but you don't get it now, and you can't even swing. In fact, I'm guessing you could what could you do? You could do a hawk or whatever it is.
I just stood there, Scott.
You could run a couple of passives. I guess. Don't know.
No, okay, that's an interesting puzzle. The one thing you could do was maybe stand in front before the fight starts to aggro some of the mobs to take the pressure off of the people that are going to be.
No, again, because I was. You got remember this is you an could, original you could. WoW of hunter. You didn't. So all I did is I rolled need on all the items and just stood at the back doing nothing. So. I just play it how it's meant to be played.
You are one. That is a trolley thing, and I love it. You did a fine job. Good job. You're an example to us all. Here's another strange example to us all. For whatever reason, Warcraft 3 and Diablo 2 got patches the other day, and I'm starting to think I have a theory about the reason. I think Blizzard is so this
Blizmebos.
So no, first, no, definitely not that. Warcraft hasn't been patched for a decade. Diablo 2 last patch was about 2011, and so everybody was like, "Whoa, these are kind of out of nowhere." I think that them making it possible, which is primarily what happened here, for these games to run on modern computers, both Macs and PCs, is them ramping up for a scenario where Battle.net has everything Blizzard's ever really done, especially anything that had a multiplayer focus, along with this voice stuff coming. They want to make it so if you want to just get into a good old-fashioned match of Warcraft 3, and you want to go head-to-head with your buddy, you can both hop on voice channel, talk about it, launch it, and go, and that these things are probably not even going to cost people money if you don't already own them. I think they have real plans for just trying to take everything Blizzard's ever done and say, look at this, modern, classic, WoW, which is now 11 years old, like all of these variable things, all of these crazy things that we've made over the years, you can now just freaking play them.
I don't know, though, because, I mean, have you played old games?
Yeah, I don't like
them. Old games are pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't like
them. Like, I don't think it's necessarily something, like, you remember them being, like, I remember StarCraft looking as good as StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I remember StarCraft 2 looking better than StarCraft 2 looks now.
Yeah.
I think nostalgia is this powerful, amazing thing that I wish I possessed more of, because you enjoy it until you're confronted with it. I don't know why they're making Warcraft 3, giving it a patch, but they've got a head of like kind of classic games or whatever they call him. So there's a team that their job is to work on these titles, and Blizzard's always had a big thing about lifelong support of their games. So I don't know.
Still a pro scene around Warcraft 3.
We have nothing else to do.
Yeah,
there are still Warcraft 3 pros. Most of it, I think, is happening in China at this point, but it's definitely still being played. Grubby still.
It's a bigger esport than
streams. He still streams quite a bit of Warcraft 3 on his stream. He streams mostly Heroes of the Storm, but he also like has a day that he dedicates just to that. So that he's still playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think enough people are playing it that it's worth it to them to give those throw those people something to say, hey, we still get it that you guys are here and you guys are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's also super good PR. I mean, it gives the image of Blizzard. You know, you can buy a game and it's going to be running forever. Mm-hmm. They're really behind it.
That's a really good point.
I think it's completely possible that we're going to see those old games come to Battle.net at some point, maybe under a special, legacy games or classic games tab or something. However, I really don't think we're going to see them available for free, Scott.
Yeah,
that
I think it'll be really cheap though.
I disagree.
It'd be like $5.
They're already $5 or $10, right? Yeah. They're in the Blizzard store.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're mostly $10. But you can already buy them. Wait, let me see. Classic games, $9.
I've added and Frozen Throne and stuff to my battle account.
Yeah, there you go. You can get Warcraft 3. If you go to your Battle.net shop tab, there's Warcraft 3, Reign of Chaos and Frozen Throne, StarCraft Anthology, Diablo 2 and Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction. All of them are €10, except StarCraft, which is 15 for the Anthology. Right. So yeah, you can already do it. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to be free at any point.
Maybe not. At some point, they need to probably be free, though, if they really care, because no one's going to buy them.
Yeah, because they don't. Lost Vikings is free.
I don't mean
play that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can. I'm saying there's a shelf life. I'm saying at some point you put those up there for $10, and knowing what people can buy for $10 on Steam these days, it's going to seem like a lousy deal.
Blizzard though, like Blizzard never thinks, "Hey guys, is that game too expensive? Is this mount? Is this item? Is this expansion? Is this everything too expensive?" No. In fact, let's put another $5 on there. Let's just see. Let's see. Oh, man, I don't even want to buy this now. It's so expensive, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I really don't see why they would need to make them free. Maybe, you know, temporary promotion cheaper. But you know what, Scott? If they make it free, yes, some more people are gonna play them. But it's not going to make them any money. However, if they make them $10 and 10 people buy them, it's going to make them $100. That's more than no bucks.
Yeah.
More bucks is better than no bucks.
But there's also the, just like Scott was saying, or I think it was, I don't know, somebody said it, but it's the good promotion. It makes them look good. And also, if it's a gateway to anybody playing Diablo 3, if it's a gateway to anybody playing any kind of Warcrafty thing because of, you know, here, try out this game for free, then that's still worth something. Mm-hmm. But I also agree with you. There's no real need to do that. $5 is still something that's not, no one's going to really like think too much about. Like $5, it's like buying an old game on Steam or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, $2.49, I get this weird old game.
Yeah.
New players aren't going to be interested. It's nostalgia players that are going to
check it out, I guess.
And for Diablo, if they want to get people to try Diablo 3, there was a bug on Battle.net at some point a couple of weeks ago that was stating Diablo was available for free until level 70 or something, or 60. And they said it was a bug. It seems like a weird bug to have happen out of nowhere, to have this kind of strength displayed.
Yeah.
But so I think if they wanted to get people to try it, maybe something to do would be to give away Diablo 3 up to level 60 or something like that, or, you know,
Warcraft 3 has just a ton of story in it. So I think that's really, like, to me, that would be the main focus to go back and play through that again, is just to kind of see all those story elements that have been kind of retold now in World of Warcraft. As far as Diablo goes, maybe there's some nostalgia because they just released the Necromancer, but, I don't think that's enough really to drive it.
Yeah.
I really do think it's because they realize people are still playing these games, and, you know, it's worth it to them to make sure that those people can actually play them on modern machines. Because that's mostly, like Scott, you were saying, that's what I thought I got from the patch notes, was most of the patch notes were around making them playable without having to do too much.
Yeah, without having to tweak your systems and jump through hoops. And because right now it's sort of a pain, even with the
it's
stuff.
Pretty hard.
Like the Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls USB special edition version of Diablo, currently, I believe, without this patch, doesn't run properly now on Windows 10, as an example. And so this brings all that stuff current. And it also, the more important thing is, regardless, I think this brings it into the ecosystem so that now we've got VoiceOver. Now you've got it in one place along with everything else. It's not some separate thing that's this ancient deal you got to run separately from all your other Blizzard things. It just kind of brings everything
in. Well, it's not
there yet,
right?
No, it's not. But I think that's coming. I mean, there's no way that's not coming. Has to be,
and I think also, you know, one thing we didn't mention at all, I think they might really like those games and want them to be current and playable, even certainly not just for themselves, but I think it factors into the decision. They want to be able to have them because it's their thing they made.
Oh, I just can't imagine right now firing up Diablo 2 and playing at the maximum resolution of 1024 by 768. I can't even, oh no, I'm sorry, 800 by 600 was the maximum resolution.
Yeah, I'd say, it's 4x3. Yeah.
Ugh, I can't do it. I can't make myself do that. Not on a big monitor. And, you know, like, why would you do that? I know that Diablo 2 is an amazing game.
I just think it's really weird because, like, with WoW, they never really encourage us to look back. There's always been a big push for, you know, vanilla servers, classic servers, and all of this. And they always, their statement is like, you know, this game is the best version of this game. You know, play it now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but it's different. It's current. WoW is current. Those games
Diablo
are legacy.
3, You know, I get that there's a different story and there's some different mechanics and characters and stuff, but Diablo 3 is the best Diablo experience that you can have. Mm-hmm. Diablo 2 is an inferior experience, short of nostalgia and having some awareness of it.
I think some people will be very angry.
Yeah, we're going to get emails about that. That's fine. That's fine.
I just think it's, you know, it just feels a bit indulgent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's you're comparing apples and oranges. It's really not the same thing at all. But,
yeah, well, exactly, man. And they're apple-y.
I think we can all agree. Apples are clearly the better fruit experience, right?
If you're going to eat an orange.
Yeah. So what are they doing?
Orange eaters. I don't know what they're doing. Look, if you hire a guy and say you're in charge of the classic gaming part of the thing, that's what I'm saying. The end game here is to just bring it all in the family so it looks like one big, amazing package to have that launcher on your computer.
Let's look forward to more cool stuff is all we can really say.
Sure.
Maybe we don't care and maybe we don't play it, but there are people out there who do care and are going to be playing this stuff, and it's cool for them.
Everyone I talked to this week was so jazzed about those patches. I think there is a genuine excitement about it. And I think Terpster's dead right about it being a nostalgia play. There's nobody mm-hmm. who's never cared about these is caring now.
I think that's so dangerous though, because it's like getting back with an ex-girlfriend. There's a reason you broke up. You know, like, you know, life is...
Yeah, because she's ugly now. Have you seen the new girlfriend out there?
You're like, ah, man, this isn't as good as I remembered it. I remember all the good things.
You mean you're...
But the reality is...
Maybe she broke up with you, and you really wanted to stay together, but you couldn't. And now you're like, oh, my God, I can finally live out all my fantasies from when we were together.
Yeah.
But then you go back, and you're like, you know what? It's not how I remembered it. It's not
like,
as good.
Maybe it is going to be like you remembered it.
No, you're like, my old 800x600 girlfriend sucked. She's terrible. I like the new
hotness. Man, I'm into wide screen girls, man. You know what I'm saying? She 4K.
That's right. All right, moving on. The Warcraft movie got a TV spot trailer thing. I'm going to play a piece of it just so you guys can hear the beginning of it. But it's basically a, it's more, I don't know. I feel like it's more trailer than we've actually gotten. But here's the beginning of it, and you can kind of get a feel for the audio anyway. There's a human there picking up his shield. He's got a big sword. Can't tell who he is. And slams it, says, come on, come at me, bro.
And there's no bros.
Then there's a big old orc we think that's
an
orc. Oh,
here's the bro.
Yeah, there here's your bro. And he's looking down. It looks like they're in like Durotar or somewhere dusty.
Yeah, very dusty.
Yeah. On June 11th, says
somewhere
the text.
Somewhere outside of Orgrimmar.
Oh, here he comes. Oh, shit. Oh, he just beat the hell out of him. Anyway, and then the part I wanted to point out is we got to see a dwarf, and that's kind of rad, right?
So, wait. Don't
this video the one they showed way back? Wasn't this like the first video they ever showed?
I don't think so.
You remember
so,
like it was at Comic-Con like 3 years ago or something stupid, and they showed a single Alliance soldier versus an orc in a desert-y type thing. As like a proof of, you know, like a concept type thing of this is what it's going to feel like.
Oh, dude.
Wasn't that? Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
I remember that.
No, I remember, but I don't think this is it.
There's a bunch of footage at the end, too, that's not that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. This is
honestly,
all new stuff.
I think I'm just saying best, that clip. This is the best trailer they've made for the game. I absolutely love it. I think it's where is the path the orcs come through in the south of the eastern. That's where they are,
right?
The Blasted Lands. Thank you, Terpster.
Yeah.
And that confrontation between the human and the orc is exactly what the movie should embody, right? They're just the two of them. It's almost reminiscent of the Warcraft 3 intro. Mm-hmm. I really love it. And then it's a series of action scenes, bam, 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 bam. And you see like just little vignettes of what you're going to be experiencing in the movie. I was way more convinced by this 1 minute trailer than I was by all the previous ones. I loved it.
Totally.
And it actually made me way more hyped for the movie than I was before.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
Trying to find evidence of exactly where it is, because Blasted Lands, I feel like, is more orange than this, but.
Well, it definitely is in the game for sure. Yeah. I wonder how much of that they tried to.
Because it would make sense. It's where they show up, and it's the first battle or something. Well,
there's like snowy mountains off in the distance. Is there snowy mountains near Blasted Lands at all?
Not.
Yeah, but they're going to take some liberties. I don't know if they're going to.
God damn it. No, they do not get to take liberties.
Yeah. Dills, look at it this way. They've got way better draw distance in the movie than they do in the game. So,
so you're... Hey, man, on my new computer, I can see pretty damn far.
So I was going to say, I don't want to limit the awesomeness of what we see there with the dwarf. There's a dwarf raising a gun and it is a Warcraft ass looking dwarf, man.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Very excited about whatever that means. So, I'm sufficiently more tweaked on this than I was previously. And I don't exactly know why, but trailers, you know, they have a responsibility to convey what we may get. And if this is the tone, I'm way more into that than I was the previous trailer, which was fine. It just felt like Hollywood standard, you know, punch it out and make a trailer. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. The Avatar thing was really coming through. This feels a little more visceral. That fight at the beginning seems dirty and hard and, you know, all the things that I'm usually described as by ladies that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty and hard.
So the guy jumping onto the flying mount also is like barefoot. So I'm trying to figure out, like, it looks like a hobbit. No, this is definitely not a hobbit.
No, that's King Lian.
Yeah.
Why does he have no shoes on right now?
I think he was chilling.
Maybe he just woke up.
Sudden escape in the middle of the night.
Yeah, he was like, what the hell is happening?
I think you're not wrong. I think he probably was in bed or something or... You know, my pauldrons.
I think there's a scene where you're going to be, you know, you're going to have the camera on a dolly of him running from his bedroom and losing his slippers, like as he's rushing to the thing. Right. And then I think that will be pretty epic.
Yeah. It looks good.
Slippers are embroidered with the lion, the Alliance lion, you know, all of that. It's badass.
Yeah. Notes about some other MMO news, just to mention them because I think it's significant, or at least indicative of the genre in general and how it's suffering a little bit. Massive layoffs for WildStar staff. So that game, which recently went free to play, I guess isn't hitting whatever expectations it needs to. Although there's always a lot of turnover in other MMO studios, so maybe that isn't that big of a surprise. But on the heels of that, EverQuest Next, which, you know, showed a lot of promise. People seem to be pretty excited about canceled, like full on. Nope, not doing it. We're out. No EverQuest Next.
Yeah. I'm surprised. Still coming though, I think.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. Hadn't been hearing anything about EverQuest Next for a while. Landmark came and was kind of, you know, sort of felt a little bit stale.
Yeah. Daybreak Company was bought by Daybreak. Right. Yeah. They got rid of a lot of the top designers and stuff like that. Yeah.
The thing about EverQuest Next is that it sounded super cool on paper, but it also felt a little bit like a developer's theoretical wet dream. They were like, "Oh, we're gonna have all those AI that are gonna create these things and those things," and like it's building a world, but it didn't seem like they were thinking about what would be fun. And ultimately, the reason they gave for canceling EverQuest Next was, well, we didn't find the fun in the game, which is, you know, it's good of them to acknowledge that and not keep pushing when it's not there. But it kind of felt a little bit like it was already that I had that feeling when they first announced it. They're like, oh, it's going to dynamically create like tribes of mobs that are going to be where you want them and not, you know, where you have an economy that is going to balance the whole world on the right. It's sort of simulation-y, but is that going to be fun? Does it serve the player experience, the gameplay? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And I guess they found out that it kind of didn't.
Not at the expense of what it probably costs to realize those kinds of plans. You know, like there's a certain level of that's neat and I wish that was in WoW and I wish mobs were being dynamically created. That sounds really cool. But if that's not going to be a thing you can do right quickly, it's not something that's going to be cheap and you're going to take forever to do it. And is that in the budget? Now you're Daybreak and who the hell are you? And you don't, this isn't the same as 10 years ago and MMOs are in this weird place. Like there's all these factors that probably just said, yep, a little too optimistic. We probably should just cancel it.
You're right. It's the last two MMOs, aren't they? I mean, I know there are others, and there's SWTOR still getting expansions and stuff, but really, who would go and start an MMO today? I mean, yeah. I was thinking about this about Blizzard even. Now that, you know, Blizzard, the way they work is when they finish a game, they get together and they're like, all right, what new game do we want to do? I don't think any developer nowadays would get together and think, we want to do an MMO. Like, unless you're a hardcore MMO fan, but...
No, they get together and they...
Look at Titan. Mm-hmm. Titan failed, and then they were like, what are we going to do with it? Well, let's turn it into Overwatch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't look at that and go like, well, we could make a better MMO. We just need to change this and that and this and that. Yeah.
Another game...
You make a cool game with MMO, like some MMO features and not just make an MMO and try to figure out how to change that game.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Cool game, and you go, okay, well, it's got more social stuff than... this type of game used to have.
This is exactly what I was going to say. Like Destiny, now The Division, which I think is really good, by the way, I've been playing it. These games are in a lot of ways the children of MMOs. They take the best parts of those or parts of them, whether you think they're the best or not, but they take the loot grind and the raiding aspect and all those sorts of things. They put it into a new first person or third person sort of shooter genre, changes it from fantasy to something else. Like they tweak the formula, but they are kind of the successors in a lot of ways.
They all suffer from the same problem though, which is like with every MMO that's come to market ever, which is the end game isn't as developed. You know, all these games, when they come to market, we expect our expectations are so much higher because of these established games in the genres that, you know, a new thing comes out. Oh yeah, it's great fun up until this point, and then it kind of falls away a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really been my experience, at least with every single game that's come out in the MMO genre and this sort of pseudo, you know, multiplayer kind of persistent world, you know, Destiny, stuff like that, is that they're great to start with and then they just kind of fall apart somewhere.
Yeah, they all kind of have. But you could even argue that Warlords had that problem, you know? Like, WoW doesn't necessarily have a record of having bad endgame. In fact, they kind of reinvented it and made it a thing that everyone copied. But you could argue that Warlords lost its way in that regard, and just sort of did the safe thing.
I wouldn't say that. I think the problem with Warlords was that they had content for, you know, a little bit under a year. And that was it, except for, you know, the garrisons, which we've talked about at length.
Well, there's a really
dungeons were super cool, and the raids were good, right?
Sure.
Yeah, but there's a video that Kungan just made recently that kind of speaks to, I think, what's kind of happened over time. And we've talked about it as it's happened in World of Warcraft, but essentially the easier they've made endgame and the easier they've made progression, the kind of more they've watered down the end game, just how it actually plays out to the player base. Because if you know, he was talking about a lot of people who are high-end raiders and stuff, they had the most fun in vanilla because end game was so difficult. You had 40 people and then like two items dropped. So you had reasons to like continue to go back and back and back because it took so long to actually gear up your entire team. And he's, you know, his argument is now you go in and you kill with 20 people, you kill a boss and seven items drop. And within a month or so, everybody has all the gear and there's no reason to continue to play, right? So then they sit and they wait until the next thing comes out. And like, while that's an extreme case for him, it is still somewhat true that a lot of people get a little bit more burnt out when the progression just happens so quickly. Mm-hmm. And that might be what the end game problem kind of is at this point. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, there's not enough cool stuff. The fights aren't good enough. It's just that the progression happens so much faster that it just doesn't feel as good, right? Like getting something doesn't feel as cool.
Feel as cool, but because there's no other, because this was the only patch, they don't have any future patches for this, it feels like less. Like,
well, that's, yeah, if content was constantly coming out, then yeah, it wouldn't feel that way. But is that feasible? Is that possible?
Probably
that
not.
Something Blizzard can actually do is just continue to put out content that we clear through this fast.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just starting to get that feeling. Yeah. So it, like, MMOs might not be something that people don't like to do now. It's just that the modern version of it doesn't feel the same way that things did, you know, in BC and vanilla and stuff like that.
Yeah, there are. I mean, I would dispute what Kungan is saying, because I don't think a lot of people would like to be doing, hardcore vanilla style raid, super difficult with no loot for 10 years. It's fun for a couple of years, but I don't think so.
But that was still like the height of it for everybody, really. I mean, even like we can make the argument that it's better for most players now, but why then are like there way less players total now, you know, if that's the case.
Well, if you're talking about it gets into, you know, a different discussion, but I think the best solution would be, as you were saying, to have a relatively accessible end game, but then have more content. And that's ultimately, I think where they're failing is that they're not providing the content. Not, I mean, sure, we're getting back to the nostalgia factor that T was talking about. You remember it being super awesome, but you also don't remember it being 8 hours, or maybe not 8 hours, but 5 hours a day, 4 days a week, mm-hmm. no matter what happens, right? That is something that Kungen doesn't mention, I'm sure, or maybe he does mention.
No, he does. It's actually pretty involved, because he even talks about flying mounts ruined World of Warcraft, you know, and
that I think
and
a lot
being
of
able to queue up ruined World of Warcraft.
I think even,
and all that
I think even
stuff.
Blizzard agrees
sure.
with that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know, sorry, the queue up again. I really want to make that point because. Yeah, it ruined World of Warcraft. Sure, you remember having to do a dungeon, a 40-man dungeon, 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, and getting 2 items. You remember the fun of getting those items when you finally got them. You don't remember having to wake up before school in the morning to go and farm your freaking mats to get your potions so that you could actually raid because you needed to get the mats when the servers were empty in the morning, and then mm-hmm. having to come and your guildmaster yelling at you because you hadn't gotten all the mats. I mean, come on, really? Is that something that
equally
like-
as well? I don't know if it's unique from my perspective, but I definitely don't have anywhere near as much time as I did when WoW came out.
Exactly.
And I don't know how much of the player base is in that same place or not. But WoW is an aging, graying audience because new people aren't coming in, mm-hmm. and new people won't come in. You know, you can throw new people at, you know, use a Hearthstone promotion, see what happens. And maybe there's people in there that'll find it interesting. But I was playing WoW because everyone was playing WoW and I was having a great time. But I think if all your friends are playing different games, it's very hard for you to, you know, have this really engrossing experience when you get pulled away from your friendship groups and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think that Warcraft's always going to struggle to be what it was because we aren't what we were. And really, we are the audience for World of Warcraft. We will always be that audience. And it needs to evolve with us into, you know, forms that we can continue to enjoy and scratch and relive some of that nostalgic fun.
I absolutely agree with that. But I, you know, if you watch the video, there's a lot of points that really, really do hammer home some of the things that have happened kind of little by little. And we've talked about on the show as when they happened, being positive changes. But in the end, when you look back on them now, it's like, well, really what we've done is we've taken this huge, massive world and we've like boiled it down to my auction house and my mailbox and and my bank. And that's like the world that most people now inhabit in World of Warcraft. And that's, I think, if that's the end result of all of these cool changes that did make the game more accessible to people without time, is that even positive, or maybe should we have just gone on to other games, right? I think that's really the point that he was making, and there's a lot of truth to it, but then there's also, of course, a counter argument as well. I'm not going to dispute that. Mm-hmm. I totally agree that I wouldn't have the time today to do all the things that you had to do to raid the way I was raiding when I was actually doing like things like Ulduar and stuff and ICC. I do not have time for that, and I definitely recognize that. But the world being so small is a result of these changes now. And that's a shame, you know?
No, I completely agree. And I think what he's, what a lot of us are reminiscing is the fantasy of the world you explore and those adventures you go on. And now it's really just, you know, click on a button to get on the list and go do your dungeon, 20 minutes, you're gone. And we like the fantasy of having that huge world to explore. But I don't think if it was offered to us, we would actually play it for more than the time it would take for the novelty to wear off, because it is a big investment. Maybe, you know, VR is going to bring that back somehow, and the sense of exploration is going to be brought through different means. Or maybe in 5 years' time, the thirst for that exploration factor is going to be revived, and we're all going to be going back to a different type of MMO that is going to bring that, manage to make that happen better. But I really don't think that the way we experienced the MMOs in the early days, you know, quote unquote, of WoW, and maybe EverQuest and Asheron's Call, and I really don't think, you know, we've evolved and gaming has evolved. So maybe there's a new way to create that space, but I don't think that old way would work today. And when people say those changes took that away. Yes, it did take that away, but also it brought convenience that we couldn't we couldn't take away anymore. It's not even that we couldn't take away. I think we would have stopped playing, period, if that convenience
I'm saying too. Because what happened is like the reason to talk to other people kind of went away, right? And that was one of the arguments that he was making was you used to have to actually seek out people to play with and seek out things. And now everything is with a bunch of random people. It doesn't matter if you know them. So it takes away any like responsibility. I go into a raid. I don't care if I'm a jerk and I do whatever. And I, AFK and fights and all that. That doesn't matter because I'm never going to see these people again. I'm going to queue into a fresh new group of people. So like the way people play has changed, like everything has changed. But I'm not arguing that like none of this should have happened. I'm just saying like there's a reason why the game is in the place it is now. And it's just, over time, the player base has changed. All these features have changed, and it's not, and that's why MMOs may just not work, because people don't want to do the stuff that you had to do. We want to do it in a condensed, we want to do like all the leveling in about 25 minutes in a game of Heroes, Dota or League or whatever, and then we want to like move on and do another game. And that's just probably where people are now as gamers. So it's really silly to even try to make a game like Vanilla WoW at this point.
Yeah. It's called Darkest Dungeon, and it's really hard, and it scratches that itch.
There's a few people who want to do it, as long as you can make the game cheaply, right? Sure. Those people will do it, and that's fine.
Yeah. I think what it was actually called was EverQuest Next.
Yeah,
it was that ultimate fantasy of the huge world, living, breathing world that you can explore that's going to change by itself. And
you can shape.
But
well, those people are still playing Eve, aren't they? The people who really want to do all the crazy grinding and stuff.
Yeah,
I think they're still playing EverQuest 1 and 2. Yeah. There's a healthy, community, several hundred thousand people that are still playing EverQuest 1 and 2, and they're enjoying that, and that's awesome for them.
But, yeah, it is. You can still play Asheron's Call on some servers somewhere. So
first one, right?
Yeah, the second one got completely gutted, but the first one's still popular with at least some community. So. Yeah, there's always something weird to play. Go out and find it. Terps, do you put in an article here about this guy that's trying to reach level 100 in World of Warcraft playing entirely on dance pads? How is he doing?
Yeah, I heard about this. I thought I'd class it up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he succeeding?
I think so. It's not hard, is it? It's just awkward. So, like anything in WoW, any of these challenges, they're not hard. Oh, they're just, inconvenient. And it's just like, oh, that seems like something I'd never really be asked to do.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's getting decent.
Guy using dance pads.
Getting some decent views on Twitch, which is great. He'll probably be in pretty good shape after all this is done. It looks really weird. This GIF is kind of hilarious.
You know what it looks like to me? It looks so frustrating. Because to me, it's like if I was just trying to if I just tried to write for the rest of my life with my left hand or something.
Yeah.
And just how frustrated I would constantly feel.
Oh,
and I could never put myself through something like this.
I hate
There's no way.
I couldn't do it.
Reminds me
want to find out kind of rotation-wise what dance move is the best. If you're playing like a rogue or something like that, like a sweet waltz, or maybe like just start crunking. It'd be sweet.
Yeah. It's probably when he whips and nays, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
When you if you're at home, you're probably imagining like a single dance revolution pad. But this is like, I don't know, what, like five of these things all daisy chained up?
A bunch of them on the ground, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's more like Tom Hanks on the piano in Big. Remember that? Like you had to jump
around.
That's
exactly what it's like.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
It's, it reminds me of the challenges Japanese gamers would put up for themselves, like finishing Metal Gear Solid just by only crawling or, doing... what's it called? Resident Evil with just the gun or silly stuff like that. It's fun.
I reckon I could do this though. I'd use the dance.
No.
He would use the dance for what?
He would use the
dance. Oh no! What would he do?
He's back.
We're never gonna know.
He's back. Are you back? No. His internet take a poo poo.
Yeah, that was perfect timing on that.
Well, we'll see if he...
The dance floor to dazzle a soul.
Yes, he would. Well, while we wait for Terpster to come back, we will jump ahead here to some Heroes of the Storm news. Zul is out, came out while I was gone, and I was sad because I really wanted to try him. I have since. He's great. I think he's really great. He's super OP, but he's fun. Is anyone else...
Well, they did just nerf him a little bit.
Yeah.
When he first came out, he was at... 57% win rate, and it was continuing to increase.
Yeah.
And I think it got into the 60%, and that's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's way, way too good at everything that he does.
Yeah.
But now I think he's a little more in line. I think he's still very, very good. But it's just, yeah. Like, I don't want them to keep putting out these new heroes and they're just like way overtuned. I like that the, you know, they're tuned high so they're strong so people play them. But I just, I want them to dial it back just a notch. But yeah, this guy's super fun to play. And I'm really glad they had the feel of the Necromancer from Diablo 2 kind of come across.
Totally. It really does too. Kit. It feels good. All that stuff feels good. It's interesting. You talk about overtuning at launch. I feel like they goofed a little bit with Lunara where she was pretty well undertuned and also a little buggy in some ways. And since then it feels like they come out just firing all weapons, like just on fire, way OP. I don't know how you, maybe like you said, take it back a notch. I don't know how they do that, but I kind of agree. It's a little, I mean, you feel like a god playing him and it's great and you're having fun, but it does so many things to the overall balance of the game when that happens.
I think they need to release more of these heroes in the public, the PTR before they come out so we can let the player base actually play with them. Cause there's a lot of people who will go use it just to test out the new heroes and you'll get a bigger range of scenarios and situations to see what the win rate is rather than just internal testing. Right.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that to become like kind of the norm is every time a new hero is going to come out a week before it comes out on the PTR and then you get a week of play and then they can make some balance changes right before it actually hits. Cause it's skews the game a little bit, right? When a hero comes out that's this good, and then every single quick match you play has one on each side, and you know, everyone is kind of playing around it or trying to figure out a way to counter that one specific hero, and then the games aren't natural feeling, I guess, is what ends up happening.
Yeah,
everything feels a little bit canned, you know.
Totally agree. Patrick, have you messed around with Zul at all?
No, not at all. I haven't really gone back to heroes since the blessed day that Overwatch entered our lives again. No, I haven't. I mean, I went in and tried him. You know, I didn't actually buy him, but I tried a little bit. He seems fun. I'm way more interested in Li Ming, though. Zul, for some reason, doesn't feel like a character I would enjoy.
He's definitely he's going to appeal to a certain playstyle, certainly, and definitely appeals mostly. I think if you, like, for example, when I play him, I'm like, yeah, this reminds me a lot of Nazebo and why I like Nazebo, or Zagara. They kind of have they all feel something about them. They all feel like similar specialists to me.
He's a specialist that can also get into a fight and do something.
That's true.
Which
is like, and those other two are similar. Like, you know, Nazebo is a real threat in a fight and can do some real crowd control and some crazy stuff. And he's that way too. And to me, that speaks more to me than, say, I don't know, Murky or some other specialist.
Like, Asmodan or something like that. Yeah, Murky especially. But where it's like, that's pretty much all you do.
Yeah.
This is what you do.
Yeah.
You push a lane. You show up at a team fight to throw a fish on the ground, and then you bail.
You get the hell out of there. You bubble and get out. But I'll tell you what, Asmodan's Asmo Dunk thing is pretty badass. And,
that looks so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was pretty thrilled to hear that. And having it coincide with March Madness here in the States is a nice little touch. So good job on that. All right, so we have a confirmation on a brand new. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask what March Madness was. It's some kind of sports bowl thing.
Oh, it's essentially the purge that we do here in America. But, for all of March.
Yeah, for 30 days, all laws are called off or whatever. Awesome. It's college.
America during March.
Yeah, it's collegiate basketball tournament, college basketball stuff. Actually, our local, the University of Utah team is like killing it right now. We may go all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's going well. If you're and there's like third or picked third or something, which means they could really do an upset and do something good. Anyway, it's all right. Yeah. Sports
March Madness is when everyone pretends they know anything about college basketball.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more of a way. It's more like people just bragging about whatever school they came from. It's an excuse to do that, or where they live. So it's a lot of rivalry stuff. But the rest of the year, nobody cares about college basketball. At least I don't think so. Dahaka. Confirmed. He's, for those that don't know, Heart of the Swarm, dude you found on the proto Zerg planet, kind of a early Zerg, pre-evolved Zerg dude with one big slicey arm and one little shorty arm, and his cool glowy shit on his back, and You get in there, and he's a pretty rad character. Anyway, he's confirmed. He's coming. There were some teasers while I was out of town. It's all been confirmed, so now we know. Here's his role, melee warrior. He's considered easy to play, which I think is good for warriors, in my opinion. His mount, he doesn't have one, but he burrows to any bush or vent on the battleground and has a 40-second cooldown. That sounds great to me, except that cooldown
is really, really cool.
That cooldown's kind of brutal, though, don't you think? Oof.
Well, the cooldown, it's similar to other heroes who have things like this. Falstad's cooldown is pretty long on that Z. Because it's really, really powerful when you could just do it whenever the hell you want.
That's true. So
there has to be a limitation. It's fine.
I hadn't considered that. His trait, essence collection, is this. You collect 10 essences per hero takedown. So these are hero takedowns. You get 2 for every minion you kill nearby, storing up to 50 maximum. So he's one of these, let's stack all my stuff, guys. It's like blood for Butcher and whoever. Activate to consume all stored essence and regenerate health over the next 5 seconds for each stack consumed. Can cast during drag and burrow. So it's a health regen maintenance.
Sustain.
Sustain, yeah. Thank you. It's a sustain.
I imagine it's going to be quite a bit of healing, too. I mean, we haven't actually seen it in action yet, but to have to store it up and then... and then use them. I'm expecting it's going to be like when he has a full 50 stack, it's going to be pretty insane to try to take this guy down.
Yeah. His get out of dodge Z mount thing sounds a lot like Anubarak burrow, except that thing's shorter distance and much more frequent.
Yeah, and that's like an escape and a stun. So This is more of a just map movement
and
ability to get somewhere really quickly. So what he'll be able to do is he'll be able to stay in a lane for a little bit and then just suddenly move to the vent near the objective and join the fight.
It's like, so, oh no, there's a fight on the boss. We got to get up there, and he can get there in no time.
And he also shows up on a vent, so he's invisible when he arrives, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He suddenly so just comes out of nowhere. Yep,
that's kind of great. All right, his basic abilities are drag for Q. Lashes with your tongues, deals light damage, or your tongue rather, to the first enemy hit, and then dragging them to you for 1.7 seconds. Dark Swarm is over the next 3 seconds, you gain the ability to move through units and deal damage to an area around yourself. Deals double damage to heroes, can be cast during drag and burrow. So that's a nice little mobile attack. And then E is burrow. Burrow into the ground, enter stasis, and become invulnerable for 2 seconds. And that seems pretty rad too. They're definitely going for the, hey, you know what? The Zerg can get underground and do shit. And they're mm-hmm. playing with that lore here a little bit.
It sounds like he's going to have a lot of control because he can get deep and he has the burrow. So if he gets deep and then suddenly people start dumping things like, heroic abilities on him, he can burrow, save himself from those. And then he can get back up and drag somebody from the opposing team back into your back line. And then, Dark Swarm, so he can grab somebody and then, like, walk straight through, the front line hero on the other side.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some really, really cool combos where you go out and you get the Li Ming and you get the Morales and you bring them back to your team, a la Stitches eating you and stuff, but with a little bit more. It's a little trickier, but I see the combo here.
Sure, and it's definitely, it feels like an answer to some of those backline characters that lately have been eating everybody's lunch, so.
I'm trying to figure out how they call this easy, by the way, because I'm looking at these, I'm like, that sounds kind of complicated, to be quite honest, but I haven't played with them yet.
Sounds a little skill shoddy, but we'll see. We get them on, I want to say it's not next Tuesday. Is it next Tuesday? Yeah, the 22nd.
I think it's going to be a week from Tuesday.
Is it a week from Tuesday? All right.
It's basically every 3 weeks we get a new hero or something like that. Yeah. So,
Isolation is his first pick for heroic slash ultimate. You launch this biomass, that sounds nasty, that deals damage, silences, and slows the first hero it hits for 30% for 30 seconds. That's a pretty gnarly slow. For the next 6 seconds, the affected enemy loses sight of all allied heroes and has greatly reduced vision. So literally anybody around you will poof out of existence for 6 seconds. That's really long.
That sounds so scary, by the way, when this happens to you. Yeah. If you're playing and it's a big team fight and then all of a sudden it's like all my teammates are gone and I don't see anything and I'm dead.
Yeah, that's gnarly. And then the other option or the other choice is adaptation. After a 5 second delay, 60% of all damage taken during this time will be returned to you as health. It's a bit like Butcher in some ways. It sounds great. That seems like a great way to not die.
It's kind of like the monk's thing, but done to yourself, right? Yep. So, you know, yep. where the monk makes you invincible, and then all of a sudden you get the big heal at the end.
Yep.
It's kind of like that in a way, but kind of go like offensive or super tanky defensive with these two selections here.
Isolation, I would argue, is the team fight or the best for your team choice. And if you're solo queuing,
sounds amazing.
Adaptation is more your style. And then finally, so, and Patrick, I'm really curious about your opinion on this, given your play style in the game. But they've announced something that I think a lot of us on all our other hero shows on Core and on Stormcast and other shows have kind of predicted this, or at least hoped for this, because I hear it talked about a lot. But they're basically going to give us something called the Lost Cavern. And the Lost Cavern is a single lane, team fight focused, grab your friends, get in there, go for it, custom game only, kick-ass, awesome idea. And it's very different from the rest of the game. You'll never have public games in this. Well, public in that you can't queue for it, but you can just like literally go into your, like the Frog Pants group in there, right-click a dude's name and invite him to this weird custom game, and suddenly it's 5-on-5 in a single lane match where there are no health wells, there are no towers to fight or deal with. It is just go for it. And I've seen a lot of positive reaction to this. I'm curious what you guys think, if you think it's going to be a fun thing in Heroes or not.
I don't know that I'm enough of a pro at Heroes to kind of pine for that kind of new mode. The arena that they introduced at BlizzCon, and they're still working on, sounded like something a little bit more, a bit more like something I would be into, especially since there's solo queue and matchmaking. This one, you have to seek out someone that has the thing and you join and then you play, but you don't really get anything out of it, right? You don't get gold or you know, ranking
you get fun
or anything
with your friends. Yeah.
You get fun, but really, who plays games for that? We play to do our daily quests and to, you know, but yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not sure. And also, it's basically team fight. It's kind of like all random, all mid, except it's not random from the other games. It's just team fights. Okay. You go in and you just do a team fight. It's kind of, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm going to try it out and it's going to be the most awesome thing ever.
We'll have some fun.
But I'm
it.
More interested in the arenas, you know, mm-hmm. what was it called? The arena?
Arena, which that's a little bit closer to ARAM, the mode you're talking about, where it's all random right? Because it is random by default. This is going to be really fun for like when we do, you know, the charity heroes brawl and stuff like that. Like that'll be cool for that. I don't see myself using this too much outside of things like that,
though. Yeah, fun streams.
I don't think I'm
going
to log into Heroes and be like, hey, who wants to do a Lost Cavern map? You know?
Yeah, it'll be special eventy kind of stuff, and that's why I'm excited about it.
Right. I guess that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's cool.
Yeah, the fact that they're doing it at all is just a nice nod to that's a segment of something somebody wants to do. But it's weird not to have. We haven't had like any kind of news or dates or anything lately. No talk about arena at all. And I don't know why.
Yeah. That was surprising, actually. I for sure I would have thought that they would have mentioned it. Because here it's sounding like we're gonna get this sooner than the arena that they took about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And the arena was the one I was the most excited for. So
I wonder if they've run into trouble or you know, I don't know.
Well, they've confirmed. I mean, Browder on Twitter has confirmed he was still working on it. Ooh, and by the way, completely different topic about Heroes. Maybe you haven't seen this, Scott. He also mentioned that they're redoing the ranked mode and that they're going to go for a bronze to grandmaster system. So it's not going to be 50 ranks.
Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you.
So
thank
you. I got a quick Terpster update. This is funny to update, by the way. He says, internet's been dead. I said, oh, no. The whole office says, yeah, connection's being switched over to something. I'll let you know when I'm back. And then I just got this text. It says, all right, internet's back, but now I have to go cover Shin's stream because he apparently just spewed on camera. Fun.
Like, whoa. Uh-oh. Everyone go ahead and check live stream fail on Reddit for that one.
That's hilarious. Sure. All right. Anyway, he says he may be back, and if he is, he'll pop in. All right. Anyway, exciting times in Heroes of the Storm, in my opinion. Also, there was the Tracer leak. I forgot that happened while I was gone. And
we knew this was coming. I mean, now that we have a release date for Overwatch, I think we're probably going to see either a few weeks before or something like that, Tracer will hit the Nexus.
Yeah, apparently it's April. April for Tracer.
Yeah,
April and, for Tracer. And she has a weird different system where she has ammo and a reload mechanic, so it's not going to be mana or anything like that, which you hate, Scott. And she's going to have her ultimate. She's going to have it from level 1. And she will augment it at level 10 in three different possible, two or three different possible ways. Mm-hmm. So very specifically, Overwatchy character for Tracer, which makes sense.
I am super jazzed that they went full on, let's make her an Overwatch character in this game. Like, let's not mess around and you know, try to cram in some sort of mana mechanic or whatever. Like, they're confident enough in what they're doing now, I think, with new characters, where they can say we need to be creative with that and be, you know, basically make her an Overwatch character where things, you know, in Overwatch, what matters over there? Timers and ammo. And ammo is and reloads.
Aiming.
And aiming, yeah. Like in a crazy way, they've somehow figured out how to pull that in here. And I don't know how it'll work out in play yet, but I think that is so cool. That's what we can expect. So now it makes me think about all the other characters in Overwatch that could make a transition over there and how they would handle it. And I'm more confident now in that than I ever was before. So good job, Blizzard,
I guess. It sort of made me even more excited for other characters that they could bring in from Overwatch. Because I'm guessing it's very unlikely she's going to be the only one. We might even see an event around the launch of Overwatch with several characters being brought. If they really try to stick to the Overwatch feel of the character when they bring it in to Heroes, it mm-hmm. could be like fun to a whole, I don't want to say a whole other level, but it's going to bring in a different kind of way to play Heroes, which is where the game is at its best, I would say. Like, if you get to different characters and all of a sudden you have like a different way of enjoying the game, that could open it even more. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Going to be great. All right, quickly, we talked some about all this Hearthstone stuff, but we didn't mention was this update in the patch that came recently, where you can create these card recipes, or these card recipes are there for you to choose from. I don't know what magic sauce is going on there, but that has got me back into Hearthstone in a major way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't know what it is, except to say I don't like the game is big and deep now. I know with standard format coming and stuff, that makes things a little bit easier too, but it's gotten so big and deep, and if you don't go to a website all the time trying to see what meta's shifted around or what cards are now considered crap or which ones are good, and then finding out, oh, I don't have those four cards, so this deck's worthless. Like, that treadmill has constantly kind of pushed me away from it to play something else. And to go in there and have it say, all right, pick Rexxar, here are, you know, three recipes you can play with. This one's a control deck. This one's a, you know, trap heavy deck. This one's an aggro deck or whatever. Be able to choose that thing and then immediately go, oh, all right, I've got all these cards but two, and it's giving me suggestions for what are decent alternatives to the two I'm missing, and bam, I'm in. And now I'm winning three games in a row, lost one, won another one after that. Like, suddenly that changes the whole game for me. And I realize that a lot of people see that feature as this weird noob thing, but it's working for me, man. Like, I'm digging that. So,
well, this is exactly the audience it's meant for, and I'm glad to hear that it's actually working that way, because it's hard for me to really understand what that's going to mean as a player who, you know, has all the cards. When I look at those recipes, I don't ever see that replacement thing. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hard for me to wrap my head around what that really works like, how that really feels to a player who doesn't have, you know, a large collection, doesn't have a lot of experience building decks or testing out meta decks and things like that.
Right.
And so the fact that you're actually getting in and you're winning games and the decks are working and you feel like you're playing some competitive games, that's really, really good news. So yeah,
really surprised
me. Sounds like they hit the nail on the head here.
Yeah, I said really surprised me. And I know that they'll probably, well, I hope they'll continue to support that and add new decks and new recipes as time goes on. And as new, you know, expansions are introduced and old ones go out, they'll tweak those. And If they put some care into that and not just make them dumb, I mean, you know, this takes some work on Blizzard's part to make sure that the decks are good. Suddenly it's like, yeah, I can sit on the crapper and play a couple of rounds. Or suddenly, yes, I do want to play a couple on the thing and not feel like I'm way behind the curve, or that I'm, you know, I'm too casual for where this game has gone, or any of that. Like, it's actually that's really interesting to me and totally worked for me, at least at this stage and at least so far, because I went from like, I can't do it to I kind of want to keep going. And that's, yeah. I think that's what they were aiming for, you know? And I'm somehow the perfect target and it worked out that way for me and it's not for other people. I'd love to hear people's feedback on that though.
The thing is with, you know, 40 plus million players, there's people of, you know, there's just a huge broad spectrum of people and how they play the game and what their collections look like. So it's, I think what this really feels like is they're finally serving the people that weren't being served before, right? Mm-hmm. Which is give the players who are coming into the game a little bit late, throw these people a bone, get them to actually feel like they can compete, because I think that's the worst thing about a game like Hearthstone, is to come in late and just get completely knocked on your ass and then get that feeling of I can't do this. Like, there's no way to enter this world. Like, it's too late for me. And then you move on to something else.
It feels impenetrable. So, yes. It feels like you cannot penetrate. Well, I don't like saying the word penetrate a lot, but I'll say it anyway one more time. It feels like you can't penetrate Hearthstone as easily. Uh-huh. And this is some nice lube for me to penetrate it.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it, really what they've done is create an easy to get version of net decking. They've created a bunch of net decks, integrated them into the game, and it's making, absolutely, you're right, it's making everything easier. And the way they've implemented it, it works super well. I think this might be the best feature of Hearthstone that has come since the game itself.
I agree.
Super well done.
I totally agree. And I didn't expect it. It happened while I was gone. I came home to that, and it was just like, oh, yeah, there's an update on my phone or my iPad, and let's see what this is all about. And now it's like, oh, all right. I think I'm playing Hearthstone again. It's really nice. Weird. Really weird.
Practice safe Hearthstone.
Yes, yeah, there you go. Say. Hashtag FTW or whatever. finally, in the news segment here, we've got a little Overwatch news. So this also dropped while I was out of town. A lot of Blizzard stuff happened while I was out. The Blizzard date happened, or the release date, rather, for the game and how they're going to handle early access for pre-orders, which seems pretty nice. So May 24th is when you get it on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Sorry, Mac folks. I still maintain about a year from now you're going to get a Mac version, but it's not going to happen for a while. I know I'm kind of alone in that, but I still think that's.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think they're not going to announce
Mac
it now.
Moving away from gaming,
I for sure. But they, man,
the only way it's going to happen is if Apple upgrades their devices. That's the if they end up having discrete GPUs in a lot more of their Macs, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, the problem is
Apple is content with the mobile gaming going their way.
I think you're totally right.
PC's not having it.
I think you're totally right, which is, you know, the ironic thing, I have a Mac Pro here, which does have discrete video cards, and we could run it just fine. But that is a market that is very specific to, like, graphics professionals and video editors. And it's like, it's not a mainstream device. Their mainstream devices are notebooks, iMacs, and, of course, their mobile devices.
Yeah,
and
the MacBook Air is becoming, like, the most common Mac you see now, you know?
Yeah. So the truth of the matter is, like, everybody wants to complain that it's on Blizzard for not supporting it. Like, oh, thanks a lot, guys. Well, I've been fans forever because you'd supported Macs and now I can't. Well, Blizzard's hands are a little bit tied, you know, to whatever hardware they can run on. But I just have this feeling that they're going to figure out some way around it. I could be dead, totally wrong, but I just have this feeling.
Well, it's I played it on my Mac, my 2015 MacBook Retina MacBook Pro 13-inch. And it plays through Boot Camp, of course. It's not like I played on Mac OS. But low settings, native resolution, 20 to 30 frames per second. So it's possible. Mm-hmm. Low settings on a top-of-the-line, super recent Mac. It's possible. But, yeah, if some people want to give it a try, it's 20 to 30 FPS.
Yeah,
that's what you can expect to get.
Which is not great. That's pretty.
It's definitely not great, especially on those settings.
Yeah, those, you know, they have a different reason to exist, those computers, and they don't, you know, I don't know. I understand everyone's frustration. I really, really do. But, damn, it looks good on PC. It's such a good game. All right. Anyway, so that's happening 24th. You can pre-order, get it in the open beta testing. The 3rd through the 4th of May. That's not right. That's
yeah. So basically what happens is the open beta is going to start on the 5th, but if you pre-order or pre-purchase, you can get early for a couple of days for you and a friend. You get 2 days of early access, basically, if you pre-order. But the open beta on the 5th is going to be for everyone. So anyone, if you want to figure out, if you want to, you know, try the game, if you want to, you know, if you want to figure out if you like it before you buy it, you can do that on the 5th. For, I guess, at least a week.
Yeah. And then, so there'll be a big influx of players. I'm actually pretty excited about how that's going to go. I assume that, when did they give a date on when the beta ends? Like the beta we're in ends?
No, they didn't.
No.
They didn't, but they did say that we're going to have at least a version of the ranked play being tested in the beta. So I'm guessing it's going to be at least another 3 or 4 weeks. It's not going to end soon.
Yeah. Damn it, this game. This is going to be really good.
Are you still playing as much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't for a week while I was gone, but it's cut into everything else I play. And, like, it's just, it is kind of my go-to. If I've got some time, it's like, well, what am I going to do? Well, I got 50 games I'd like to be playing right now, but I really want to play Overwatch, so I'll play that. And we've got enough friends in there. Like, you know, half the time I get in, Dills is in or Gorath's in or somebody's in. So there's always 2, 3, 4, sometimes a whole 6-team worth or 6-player team ready to go. And that makes a huge difference too. So yeah, the fact that everyone's about to get this is, I'm beyond stoked. I mean, I'm for my son's birthday, I pre-ordered a copy. He doesn't even know it yet. And he's going to be playing with me and, you know, it's going to be great, that game. And also those comics and animated shorts are coming. I think the 22nd is the Winston focused animated short. So like in a week.
I saw 21st on Xbox.com. It's going to be available on the evening of the 21st, I think.
There was some backlash about that because people thought that meant you had to have an Xbox Live account, and you don't. You just go to Xbox.com/Overwatch or whatever it is, and you can see it. So it's an exclusive webby thing, but it's not, you know, you don't have to pay to see it, which is good.
And it's going to be on YouTube like immediately, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You guys excited about that?
I just cannot wait for all of this video stuff that we're going to... I just, you know, when the game's out, we're going to start seeing more and more of this backstory. And,
yeah,
you know, these characters are already so rich to me with nothing, really. Yeah. But, like, looking around the world. Have you noticed now there's all these, like, new signs up and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, there are posters.
All these, like, new little details in the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lucio's apparently got a concert coming and, like, whatever Central Park is. And there's movies starring these characters. There's, like, graffiti saying like robots go home and all this, like, it's awesome, dude. It's so great.
Yeah.
They've added, I can't remember when, but at some point during the beta, they've added more chatter between the different characters.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying, Scott, something about Reaper and someone else. Actually, it was Reaper and McCree.
Yeah.
So Reaper and McCree have a relationship. And
I thought it was Hanzo and McCree. And you're right. It is Reaper and McCree. Yeah. And yeah. Reaper says something like, when I was training you, you were a whatever. And he says, thanks,
he
stranger.
Says, And you'll notice how much I've played the game. He said, I've taught you everything you... Oh, sorry. I'm going to do the Reaper voice. Okay. I've taught you everything you know. and then McCree goes like, not everything.
Not everything. And shoots him in the face.
And they've made a little blog post about the fact that they're going to have web comics and regular comics on top of the animated shorts, which look so awesome. You know, I keep rewatching the gameplay trailers over and over again because they're so cool just to watch. They give you a feeling of what the characters are. And it's just the work they've been doing on this is phenomenal. And I just can't wait to see those, to have that world fleshed out a little bit more. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. I'm super stoked.
The world building they're doing is pretty substantial.
With hardly anything. Saying, yep. They have,
yeah.
There's just, you know, the most bare bones competitive multiplayer game. And that's all there is. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, it's like we were saying at BlizzCon when they had Hanzo and Genji on that bridge. And he's like, you are nothing. Mm-hmm. And he says, we shall see, drawing his blade. We shall see,
brother.
And all of BlizzCon went nuts because he was the brother. And we didn't even know the character.
No, we didn't even know Genji at that point. Like he had just been introduced. Yeah. Exactly. And all of us were like, they're really good at that. They know how to do this better than anybody. and make you care about characters you barely know anything about.
Right now, you feel like a detective, you know, putting together all the pieces, and it's really, really fun. And you know, when you really kind of all during skirmishes, I'm not even running around skirmishing. I'm just looking around the world trying to find little Easter eggs and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's pictures of the characters and their older costumes and things before things changed. Mm-hmm. There's all these little one-liners, and you get them. You can also, like, as you open up your loot boxes, you're getting new lines and trying to find hints in there. It's pretty epic what's going on right now if you're in the... And I hate to make people not in the beta feel bad, but, mm-hmm. like, this is, I think, like, the this is so fun right now. So getting in there and trying to read everything you can see and see if you can find new evidence of what's going on and what happened.
Yeah. So many more of you are in there, though. I'm noticing my friends list just gets bigger and bigger of people who were just complaining they didn't have access. Suddenly they have it.
So it's good news, too, to know that, okay, there is a way. There is a way in earlier than the release date, and that is pre-purchase. Yeah. So.
And that's basically 6 weeks away, right? It's,
it's coming up.
So, yeah, it's finally
by the 29th, then you're in the third, right? So,
It sounds right. Yeah. All right. Well, we got some couple of quick questions to get through. Here you go.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, Town Crier, where we take your emails and calls. Calls come to us at 801-471-0462. Leave a message there if you have a question for us, or email us theinstance@gmail.com. And a couple of emails today, one from Carmen here that starts like this. Hey, Instance guys, what if Blizzard is okay with the idea of people coming to a new expansion every 18 months, consuming it as quickly as possible, and then taking off until the next one is out? It seems like this might be part of how they want to deal with things as they are, and honestly, I think it fits my playstyle. If that's what they want to do. The only hard part is remembering to cancel and re-up subscriptions in between. Thoughts? I mean, we've talked about this some back and forth, but it's an interesting idea to think of this being the thing Blizzard wants people to do. You know, like come, well, play, go, come back sort of thing.
I think they want you to do that, except they want you to forget the part where you cancel your subscription. but it's no, I mean, obviously they don't, it's not like they have a choice. They understand that people are doing this more and more. In an ideal world, everyone would stay subscribed all the time, but I think they understand that a lot of people are not going to be. And I also think that they really try, you know, just like we said with the delicious cake metaphor from the last episode, they really try to bake it every year. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're not, you know, it's not like they're aiming for 18 months. They're really aiming for every year and end up, you know, only managing to do it in a longer time frame. I don't think it's their plan to say we're going to release one every 2 years or every 18 months and it's going to be fine. But the everything else you're talking about, Carmen, is the reality of the situation. So I'm sure they would prefer the situation to be how it was 5 years ago with 10 million people staying subscribed nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts, Dills, on that?
But they're okay with it.
Yeah, it's not really realistic anymore. So I think they realize that some people are going to play this way. And while it's not, like Patrick said, they would prefer that people would stay subscribed, I think they are okay, if that's the question. Are they okay with it? Yeah, they're okay with it. As long as the game itself is still profitable, then it doesn't really matter if people come in for a few months and then pay and then they leave, but it's a number that's in the millions that come back in and pay, then that's a number that still makes money. So, you know, people are going to play this game in all sorts of different ways now. And there's a lot of people who are going to play that way. And there's not really anything Blizzard can do other than find some magical solution to making the game something that keeps your interest continuously, right?
It's also kind of how I play
stuff
right now, you know.
Yeah,
this is my
I stay subscribed, but I play less and less, and it's okay. I every now and then though I do get the hankering to log in and just do a couple battlegrounds or whatever, and I want that option, so I stay subscribed. Mm-hmm. Other people just unsubscribe for a while and come back and then binge and then get out.
I just have the, you know, I'm beyond excited for Legion. Like, I'm so jazzed to get it and play it. And then I probably know that in a year after that, it'll be like, all right, well, I'm going to hold off for a while. I mean, I may not cancel, but I'm not going to be in there all the time. So one way or the other, the pattern is happening. The question is how many people just stay subscribed to be there and how many unsub for, you know, 6 months to a year before they get back in. I don't know. Good question, though, Carmen.
I also wanted to mention that they've increased the price of the expansion significantly in the past, you know, two or three. It used to be that the expansion was what was it, $40, the initial price. So it was a really, really an expansion price. Nowadays, it's a full game price, right? At $60, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
55 or 60.
So. Yeah.
So I think that also, you know, they realized that people just come in and play for a little bit and then leave. And if that's the case, you know, if they pay a full priced game every couple of years, even if they stay for a couple of months and pay an extra $30 just to, you know, have the subscription for a couple of months, that's also a pretty good deal for them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the increase of the price of the expansion, I think, came partly from that idea that people are not staying subscribed very long.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some people are just going to come and play for 3 months and then leave.
Yep. Karen wrote in, says, hello, people. We know that Overwatch came from the ashes of the canceled Titan. Do you guys think one day they will flesh out this world a bit and it could become an MMO again, kind of how Warcraft evolved to become one of from a very different beginning? Well, Karen, I've made this argument before, and I think that they could. Whether they will or not is a different issue because there's a lot of economics and whether or not that's still a viable genre and all those things we talked about earlier in the show. But there is a thing over at Blizzard where they believe very strongly in starting with what works the best and then building out. I don't think that the shooter is the final genre that we will ever see anything happen with Overwatch in. I think it could potentially become a bunch of things. And I don't just mean characters over in Heroes and things like that, but like advancing into something else, squad-based shooters, or that's a bad example, but an MMO is not off the table, and as far as I'm concerned.
Fighting game,
yeah. You know what? You've said this before, and I'm actually kind of with you on this. It'd be a great fighting game. 2D, not 2D, but, you know, Street Fighter V style.
Something.
But if we got a fighting game, don't you think it would be similar to, like, Heroes, where it would be all of Blizzard games all combined, rather than
possibly.
Just Overwatch?
Possibly, no.
Like a Marvel versus Capcom type of thing.
That's a decent point.
You know.
Overwatch versus Warcraft.
Because like if you were trying to make a fighting game, you could just add as many, you know, you continue to add games. But yeah, just side scrolling fighting or whatever. Or you could do the 3D thing where mm-hmm. people can move around. There's so much you could do with that.
Yeah.
And if you have the access to all the characters, then that'd be pretty cool.
And seeing the success of games like I'm not wholly unconvinced that Titan was trying to straddle the line between what Warcraft was and what things like The Division are. Which is fresh in my mind because I'm playing it now. But I think that may have been close to what Titan was aiming for in the world of Overwatch. It's entirely feasible to me that at some point they go back to that drawing board and they create a very popular third-person or first-person shooter-based larger world MMO thing with a bigger arc and a story and, you know, less of the competitive. It may even just be... technically, it could be a sequel to Overwatch in general. It could just be... you know, Overwatch World or whatever the hell you call it, and suddenly
they don't
there.
Even have to create a new game. They could just add MMOE features into Overwatch as it exists now,
yep.
Like a couple of PvE kind of things where you can group up with your buddies and go out and kill, NPCs and stuff. You could do some of that, and then also, of course, progression and social features are already kind of being added, and that's where you fill that MMO kind of niche, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I guess there's some of that for sure that could happen. I do wonder where it starts to, you know, turn into what they were trying to do with Titan, which ended up not working, and this is why they canceled it. So mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. that question as well.
I think
there's another thing.
There could be some half measures is all I'm saying, is it could be they don't have to go full-blown Titan again, but they could go somewhere near it, you know? Anyway,
no, absolutely. Better. And the world, we just spent, you know, 10 minutes gushing about how well fleshed out it is. I'm wondering, I don't know anything about, you know, Titan from when I was there. That was kept very secret. So I don't have any inside knowledge. But I'm really wondering if some of the reasons why we think it's so fleshed out is that some of what Overwatch is now with the relationships between the characters and the story and everything was actually developed to some extent for Titan. And that's why it feels so real. It's because, you know, they had worked on this as on the story side for a long time. So they have all of this basis to go off of when they want to flesh it out in the world.
I'd bet money on that.
So maybe
I think you're dead right. I don't think there's any, well, in my mind, there's no question. Obviously there's question because we don't know, but I would be shocked to find out that stuff wasn't already heavily in the works in terms of story and world and all.
Now,
that
how stuff. How do you guys feel like if it went this way, if they decided to just add MMO things, this is like could gear and things like that work? I mean, I think if you're going to keep this kind of one game at a time, very balanced experience as like your main way to play the game, you obviously can't have one guy have a gun that's just better than another guy. But if you had another mode where people could gear up and play against each other,
well, how does Destiny does this, right? Destiny does a thing where you, when you play the multiplayer aspect of it, it isn't so much about your gear. I mean, your gear is good, but aren't things kind of equalized in the multiplayer? Or they're, you know,
in Destiny?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you get everything equalized. You still have the different types of weapons.
So the gear matters in PvE more than PvP, is what you're saying?
It does, yes. Okay. The level and the power is equalized when you do PvP. However, if you have a special gun that, you know, shoots ducks, it's still going to shoot ducks, and they're going to run around going quack, quack, quack. So that's not going to be new.
Hold on, you just fixed Destiny for me, by the way. This is a duck shooting gun. It's all good now.
I think that could be an interesting weapon. But I think what could work even better for something like Overwatch is something they mentioned, Kaplan mentioned when they were working on the progression systems, and something that didn't work for the competitive game was different abilities. Like, you know, when Reaper would do his Shadow Step, he would regain health. Or, you know, there would be... abilities. And I think that could be a super fun element of a progression system, more than gear, maybe, because you know, the thing with gear is that you get a higher number, like in MMOs, you get end the division and all of those games, you get a higher number to be able to tackle more powerful enemies, from which to get a higher number gear to be able to, you know, and that's a treadmill.
Yeah, sure. And it's like
different abilities. The sort of going the Diablo route a little bit, which also involves stronger opponents, of course, but like that fun of being able to press a different button or have your button do something a little bit different, I think would fit the world of Overwatch a little bit better.
I agree. I think if there's enough players where you can say, you know, once you reach level 10, you get to augment one of your abilities and you get two choices or something, and then people can kind of make their characters feel a little bit more unique to them, and then you play against other people who have that many upgrades, then it, you know, it could be okay. You could totally have a thing where it's still PvP and everyone's a little on equal footing, but you have changed you've tuned your character the way you like to play him.
I was thinking about PvE for this. I think they specifically said they wanted PvP to be very you have to know what you're going to expect. If you see a Reaper, then you know what he's going to do. But for a PvP kind of thing, or maybe something completely different, I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways they could go.
I think
this
could totally work PvE. I mean, think about Heroes. You know, there's all these specs you go down as you do a thing, and you can spec out. You can spec out dudes in Overwatch.
Sure, why not?
Like, my dude does a little more damage, my dude heals a little more. That's the difference. My guy has his bullets slow or something.
Sure.
You know? You
could, actually, Team Fortress 2 does this a bit with some of the augmentations to weapons and things. They try to still keep it balanced, but it's, you know, one grenade might explode differently, or the stickies don't work the same or whatever. Yeah. But
It definitely makes things a little more complicated, and I definitely acknowledge that, but if you're playing against other players of the same level as you, then those players have progressed to the same amount as you, right? So they understand that things have changed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the players who start at the beginning, they don't have to worry about it. And then it gets kind of drip fed to them over time.
Look, I would take a isometric view, Shadowrun style, turn-based combat freaking game on mobile. I'd take whatever they want to make the genre into. I'm all for that, and we'll see what they do in the future. Thanks, Karen and Carmen, for your emails. Always good stuff. theinstance@gmail.com is that email address. Use it liberally, and we'll read them on the show. It's going to do it for us, everybody. Let's whip around the horn and see what people are up to. Dills, you've always got a million things going on. Something you want to mention for the listeners to check it out?
I mean, mostly just check me out on the Twitters at Willie Dills, and Twitch is twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF. Streaming a lot more recently, and there's actually going to be a lot more streams and other content coming soon, and keep your eyes open. I am launching an individual Patreon soon. We got a video in the works and everything else is created, but that is going to happen, and that's going to have some fun little perks for people and things that you guys can participate in if you want to. So No actual release here. I'm not going to share any links, but some people have been asking about it. So I just want to let you guys know that is happening. That is a thing that's coming. Outside of that, I'm going to be at South by Southwest gaming stuff today and tomorrow. So if anybody is around and in Austin, it's free. If you were thinking about going, but you didn't know if you could, it's free. You can just come on down and shoot me a tweet and we'll hang out.
Nice.
Do stuff.
Very cool. Patrick, what's going on, man? You're going to Japan soon. So what are you doing right now?
Well, right now I'm preparing for going to Japan. Ooh, there's a new in-development video for Heroes. Okay. Well, right. there's the Haka apparently being featured. Anyway, I'm getting ready for Japan. This is so exciting. I'm going to be spending 2 months in Kyoto, and I couldn't be happier about all of this. I'm still going to be doing most of the shows. I don't know how it's going to work out for the instance for those 2 months, but we might figure something out. Yeah. In the meantime, I'm hoping we're going to be continuing Overwatchers. However, we did record a new episode a couple of days ago, and we went over all of the patch info, a bunch of stuff that came out with our good friend Garrett Weinsroll, and you can find that at amove.tv. The show is called Overwatchers, and it's basically all you need all you need if you want to have lots of Overwatch info. And on Twitter, I am Not Patrick, so you can go follow me there.
All right, he's literally Patrick at Not Patrick, so. Try to keep that straight in your head.
That is literally what it is.
Theinstance.net is our website. Please frequent it. It has all the links to everything that we do, so you can find it all there. Of course, the show is free. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Instant Show on Twitter. Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, _T, and Not Patrick. More shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, for Patrick, and for the now streaming because someone barfed Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Poor drop rate has people looking for Love Rocket in all the wrong places. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. We've reached that time of the year when love is in the air, but for many frustrated mount collectors, all they can think about is what isn't in the air. Them on a big Love Rocket. Year after year, alt after alt, they battle the Crown Chemical Company only to come up empty. Rumor has it that the odds of winning one of these amorous aircraft are only slightly better than winning Powerball. So it really shouldn't come as any surprise that some are going to, shall we say, extra legal means to satisfy this pent-up demand. Recently, ODN has received reports of counterfeit BLRs showing up in various auction houses. While the source of these fakes is not certain, one rumor is that Elon Musk's SpaceX company is using the holiday to cover a secret test of a new version of their reusable short-range launch vehicle. The theory is that since Goblin technology is expected to blow up, any test failures will go unnoticed to SpaceX investors. At last report, the Azerothian Trade Commission is investigating this rumor, but advises any recent rocket buyers that if your rocket lasts less than the distance between four quest hubs, consult your mechanic. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Greetings, gamers. This is Mewcow, a resident expert on a common gamer condition called altitis. If you are into the art of collecting, why not use your alt army for pet collecting? While your inventory of battle pets might be account wide, you can use every single last one of your alts to gather them. For your max level alts, you can find pets in just about every raid, and usually at a better drop rate than mounts. If you want less of a time investment, you can also find them in some dungeons. That lovely garrison of yours can also drop pets in missions, and you'll even find them in the shipyard. In all of these cases, the more alts you have, the more chances you have to make them drop. You will also find a number of ways to get pets during the various holiday events throughout the year. Having your alts gather holiday currency can be quite effective, and for random drop pets, each alt will have its own chance. And even if it is best to pick one of your alts as the main pet battler, you can still use our army to gather all of them. Of course, I'll be a bit busier doing my favorite type of collecting, as I level every class and race. Gotta level them all! If you have questions, tips, or want to discuss the topic further, find us on Twitter at altitis.net, and show notes can be found on altitis.net. On behalf of the Alt Army, we hope you find this information useful in the treatment of your altitis.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.